Hare Krishna, everyone. My name is Indradyumna Swami. I'm your servant, Dasasmi. I'm very happy to be here on this very auspicious day of the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to give the class today, although there are many illustrious godbrothers much more qualified than myself to speak. I wanted to say that I'm impressed by everything every time I come to our temple here in Juhu Beach. But I'm particularly impressed with the deity worship, as always. I spend a lot of time in India these days, and I like to travel to different holy places and so forth and so on. But nothing compares to the standard of the deity worship here. It's just extraordinary. It's a setting example for all of Bharat. Of course, many of the temples have been existing for thousands of years in India, so we can pray to Srila Prabhupada that we can maintain such a high standard for many millenniums. But it's just so touching to see such a high standard going on year after year after year. So I offer my full dandavats to the managers and to the pujaris and all the Vaishnavas here. Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaibacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavi. I've come with a team of devotees. Here in India we're known as Krishna Fest. In the West we're known as Festival of Indy. In Poland and Europe, I think some of you may have heard about it. Our devotees are still in Gujarat. We've just completed about a 2-month festival tour there through all the major temples. And we were very kindly invited here to participate in your grand and world-famous Rath Yatra. So we'll do our best to add to the preaching of that grand event tomorrow and the 2 days afterwards. There's much to be said about Lord Nityananda. I was looking for appropriate verse to speak on today. There's so many verses. Well, I just opened the Chaitanya Charitamrita to Adi Leela chapter 5, the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram, and there was verse 204. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Go Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrindam. So, Adi 5, Chaitanya Charitamrita, text 204. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Charanada Vinda Yanha Haite Painu Shri Radha Govinda. Translation. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained the lotus feet of Sri Radha Govinda. Of course, this is Kaviraj Goswami writing. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who is famous for his poetic composition known as Parthana, has lamented in one of his prayers, quote, "When will Lord Nityananda be merciful upon me so that I will forget all material desires," unquote. Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms that unless one is freed from material desires to satisfy the needs of the body and senses, one cannot understand the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna, Vrindavan. He also confirms that one cannot understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna without going to the direction of the six Goswamis. In another verse, Narottam Das Thakur has stated that without the causeless mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot enter into the affairs of Radha and Krishna. Oma gyan timadandasya genangena shalakaya chaksunimilitam jena tasmai sigurave namaha Sri Chaitanya mano vishnam shtapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadanti shva badantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna So in this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, spoken so eloquently by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, with a beautiful purport by our beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, we hear of some of the unlimited glories of Lord Nityananda. As all of us know, that Lord Nityananda is one of the principal members of the Panchatattva, who specifically introduced the Sankirtan movement as the Yuga Dharma for the age of Kali. That is very nicely described, very important verse in the 11th canto of the Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangopanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Ijantihi Shumedashaha. Specifically speaking about Lord Chaitanya as the Leela Avatar, who would be recognized, would be known as the Avatar by the fact that he's golden in form, he's singing his own sweet holy names, and he's surrounded by his associates who are also chanting those holy names. Krishna appears in each age to propagate the Yuga Dharma. Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Panitam. The Bhagavatam is very emphatic on this point. Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Panitam. But for the Lord, no one can propagate a system of religion. I remember one time in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was giving class. I think the verse was Ete chamsa kolopumsha krishnash tu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam mukam yuge yuge. That the Lord appears in every age and various incarnations, but Krishna's avatar, he's the original incarnation of Godhead. And then Prabhupada kind of had a disgusted look on his face. He said, in this age there are so many false incarnations. He said, there's an incarnation of God in every street corner of Bombay. It's become, at that time, it was the God business. I don't think it's so prominent now, but in those days it was very prominent. There were so many so-called incarnations. So Prabhupada used to quote, Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. But for the Lord, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Avatari, who's the source of all avatars, no one can establish a system of religion. And in each age, there's a particular process applicable for the people of that age. So, he's famous as Triyuga Avatar. He comes in the Satya Yuga, he introduces the process of meditation. He comes in the Treta Yuga, he gives us the process of Agnihotra, the fire sacrifice. He comes in his original form as Krishna in the Dwapara Yuga, introduces the process of worshipping the Lord in the temple. But there's no mention of Kali Yuga. At least some people think like that. Therefore, Krishna is called Triyuga Avatar. But this doesn't mean he doesn't come in Kali Yuga. What it means, he doesn't come personally in Kali Yuga, in the sense proclaiming himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the Yuga Dharma. He comes disguised as a devotee. Therefore, he's called Channa Avatar. Kali Yuga Lila Avatara Nakare Bhagavan Ate Eva Tri Yuga Nakare Kahitara Nam. Elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, he doesn't appear as a Lila Avatar, an incarnation with displaying pastimes. Therefore, he's known as Tri Yuga Avatar. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age as a devotee. And this might be, you could say, confusing to some people. Why does the Lord come as a devotee but not personally in the Kali Yuga? And Prabhupada elaborated on that by saying that if Krishna came as Krishna, people would simply want to imitate him. Because in Kali Yuga, the Mayavadi philosophy is very prominent, that God is one, that we are all God. So he doesn't appear as one, he appears, Prabhupada says, in five features. He appears as his devotee, he appears as his expansion, he appears as his incarnation, he appears as his internal potency, and he appears as his marginal energy. This is quite philosophical, but it's important to establish the foundation of our Krishna conscious philosophy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the devotee. Advaitacharya is the incarnation. Gadadhar is the internal potency, Srimati Radharani. Srivastakur is the marginal energy, Jiva. And today, Lord Nityananda is the Lord's expansion. It's only natural that Lord Nityananda is the Lord's expansion because in Krishna Lila, he's also the Lord's expansion. You may think back to Lord Balaram's appearance day some months ago, and I'm sure the speaker mentioned that. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and from him are coming so many expansions. And Balaram, he's the first expansion. And when Krishna appears in Kali Yuga as Chaitanya, Balaram appears as Nittai. They're always together. Brajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nittai. Lord Krishna, the Prince of Braja, has appeared as Lord Chaitanya, the son of Sachi Devi. And Lord Balaram, he appears as Nittai. Kaviraj Goswami very poetically describes the appearance of Krishna and Balaram in Kali Yuga as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a verse that many of the Shlokawalas know. Bande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Ghodadhaya Pushpanvanto Chittasando Tamayanudo. That I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are just like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Ghoda, Bengal, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So it's important to understand the identity of Lord Nityananda, because Prabhupada said one time, this Krishna conscious movement is authorized. It's not something whimsical that's made up from some person's imperfect senses and limited mind. It dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. It comes from the Lord. It's authorized. So Krishna comes as Chaitanya, and Balaram's first expansion comes as Nittai. They're effulgent, they destroy the darkness of Kali Yuga, therefore they're compared to the sun and the moon. In the spiritual world, Lord Balaram, although he's non-different than Krishna, Prabhupada said one time, the only difference between Krishna and Balaram, and the only difference, is that Krishna is darkish, bluish-black like a monsoon cloud, and Balaram is white like the autumn clouds. But although they're identical except for their color, Balaram, he assumes the role of assisting Krishna in his pastimes. Krishna is called Seva and Balarama is called Sevaka. Krishna is to be served by everyone. Nitya Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitanam, Ekobahanam, Vyovadidati Kamam. Why? Because out of all the eternal living entities, there's only one who's maintaining everybody else. And that's Krishna. So even his expansions are subordinate to him. Even his expansions. Because he's Swayam Bhagavan, he himself has the six opulences, and the incarnations, they possess some or a combination of those opulences. They come for particular purposes and display certain opulences for those reasons in the material world. But only Krishna fully manifests the six opulences as Krishna, but also as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his expansions are, although they're non-different, they're subordinate. It's a little philosophical, but again. So Balaram, he serves Lord Krishna in various ways. He's very protective as the older brother, kills lots of demons. And Kaviraj Goswami says that Balaram assumes the form of Krishna's shoes, his dress, his ornaments, his umbrella. He also expands as the Dham. Balaram's and Vrindavan's an expansion of Lord Balaram. Mayapur Dhamma's an expansion, then you could say, of Lord Nityananda. And Kaviraj Goswami points out what's more, his Balaram's partial manifestations are Shankarshan, Sheshanag, and there are various Vishnu avatars. He assists Krishna in creating, maintaining, and destroying the cosmic manifestation. So, in the same way that Lord Balaram assists Krishna in his pastimes, Nitai, he assists Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. But there's a special quality to Lord Nityananda's service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that doesn't exist in Balaram's service to Krishna and his pastimes. And what could that be? Krishna, in his pastimes here on the earth, enjoys pleasure pastimes of love with his devotees. But when he comes 5,000 years ago, he mainly just displays them, like you're going to see in a few days at our Krishna Fest. We display the pastimes of Krishna 5,000 years ago in a very extraordinary way. Extraordinaire, we say in French. One person came to our festival program and said, "This is as good as Cirque du Soleil." I don't know, you know Cirque du Soleil? It's that circus that travels around the world with trapeze artists and the best of the world. Cirque du Soleil. I've gone several times to get some ideas for our festival tour. It's an extravaganza. It's the greatest show on earth. So the person said, "Your Krishna Fest, it's like Cirque du Soleil." I said, "Well, you know, thanks for the comment, but you know, we're not like anywhere professional as that." She said, "No, it's better because it has a spiritual theme to it." With all due respect to Cirque du Soleil, they're very professional. They're flipping, they're singing, but she said, "Your show is more important because it has a message, a spiritual message. Otherwise, we're simply seeing people twisting their bodies up and down, going around." She said, "Like the Olympics." I know India's in the Olympics, and I don't want to downplay your favorite Olympic athletes, but really, that's all just kind of physical, but there's something extraordinary. The spiritual culture, we liberate ourselves in this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. So in a few days, you'll see the Krishna Fest, and we have these amazing puppet shows. Not little puppets like this, but huge puppets, larger than life. And it's called... they're all Krishna's pastimes. A two-hour show just of, you know, Russian puppeteer extravaganza. And the audience cries because it's really bringing Vrindavan home. But you can't come up on the stage and participate. So Krishna's pastimes were like that 5,000 years ago. He appeared to display his pastimes to entice us to come back home to the spiritual world. He performed these extraordinary Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes, so that we see them, we would think, what the heck am I doing here? I should join Krishna in his pastimes in the spiritual world, like Narottam Das Thakur says. Here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. So Krishna displayed the pastimes as a means to give us the impetus to take up the process of devotional service. Sarva dharmam padicha ja mamikam saranam braja hum tam sarva papebhyo moksis. Why should we take up the process? Because it's superior to our mundane, material life, struggle for existence, the human race. The only hope is divine grace. Srila Prabhupada. So, Kaviraj Goswami describes in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we have heard from our Acharya is superior even to the Bhagavatam, and it goes into the pastimes of the Yuga Avatar, who delivered the highest knowledge and the process to attain Braj Bhakti. That 5,000 years ago, when Krishna wound up his pastimes in this world and went back to the spiritual world, after some time he was lamenting. Oh, I went to the material world and I displayed my loving pastimes, but I did not allow the inhabitants of the earthly planet, the material, to participate in those pastimes. So I will come again as the Yuga Avatar in Kali Yuga, and I will engage the conditioned souls in my pastimes. And then they will really get the Parnam Drishta Nivartante. They'll get the higher taste. They won't just be looking, they'll also be part of the pastimes. What? What is our qualification? No qualification. Only the mercy of the Lord that we could be in his pastimes in our present conditioned state. And this was much to the wonder of Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tushe Namaha. You, Lord Chaitanya, you're the most merciful incarnation because you come with the highest message of Godhead. You reveal to us the five rasas of intimate, loving relationships with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan beyond the Aishvarya Bhava of Vaikuntha, where the Lord is worshipped as Narayan in great awe and reverence. In Goloka, you can approach him as servant or as your child or as your friend or as your lover. You're delivering the topmost message to what? The most fallen people. Because we're the burnt remnants of the previous ages. Whoever didn't make it back in Satya Yuga was born in Treta Yuga. Who didn't make it back to the spiritual world in Treta Yuga took birth in the Dvapara Yuga. And who didn't make it back to God in the Dvapara Yuga is Kali Yuga. No one has any right to be proud in this world. No matter what elevated status, amount of money you've required, how beautiful you are, everything's fallen in this age. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangapana. Shukadev Goswami tells Maharaj Pariksit, this age is an ocean of inauspiciousness. So Rupa Goswami is pointing out that Mahaprabhu is giving the topmost process to the most fallen. This is the most amazing thing. And how does he engage us in his pastimes? What are the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? What are the pastimes of Lord Nityananda? What are the pastimes of Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, and Srivas? Harinama Harinam, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kulo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. What are their pastimes? Simply distributing the nectar of the holy names of Krishna, most intimate name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. And that also is the pastime of all the acharyas who have appeared since the Panchatattva. all of our acharyas have engaged 100% in spreading the Sankirtan movement. Now, they're all liberated souls. They're all engaged in the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan. Kaviraj Goswami points out they're mainly Manjaris. But they appear in male forms in Kali Yuga to assist the Lord in his pastimes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's not they come down to a lesser platform. They're Nitya Leela. They're engaged in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. It's not that preaching is lower than rasa. Preaching is the rasa of Mahaprabhu when he comes to this material world. It's the rasa of the fully liberated souls in the spiritual world, the topmost planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Golok Premdan, Harinam Sankirtan. Therefore, Narottam says, this Sankirtan movement has descended from Goloka. Golok Premdan, Harinam Sankirtan. It doesn't become covered or inferior when it comes to this world, no. It just takes a little bit of a different humor. So preaching is not less than rasa. We hear a lot about attaining the higher stages of rasa. Yes, we want to do that because we need to do that to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna's come here to invite us. But we shouldn't think that preaching is less than sitting at Radha Kundan chanting 64 rounds a day. No. Śrīla Prabhupāda, he is an eternal resident of Vrindavan Dham. And when he came here, he preached to his last breath. That was the pastime. One time he cooked samosas. In the early years he would personally cook for devotees and he offered them to the deities and then distributed them to devotees. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me that he took one of those samosas, he ate that samosa, he said, I never have ever tasted a samosa like that. So I asked Prabhupada, where did you get that recipe? You know, you can find good recipes in Jamuna's cookbook and Adi Raja's Hare Krishna cookbook. You know, so where did you get? Prabhupada said, he said very nonchalantly, "Oh, that's Mother Yashoda's recipe." So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was like, "Excuse me," and Prabhupada just went back to his japa. So an intimate look into Prabhupada's life. Sometimes, you know. Jesus said, my cup runneth over with love. Sometimes these things just come. One time, Bhavananda told me recently that Prabhupada was very sick. And he went, you know, when you're sick, you become very pale and grayish, weak. Prabhupada recovered his health. And then Bhavananda walked into the room and Prabhupada said, I am healthy. He said, I have gained back my color. He said, this is my color in the spiritual sky, reddish gold. So Bhavananda went, excuse me? Prabhupada didn't say. So Bhavananda went, got a nectar of devotion, started looking through to find out what personality in Vrindavan has the skin that's reddish gold. Like that. So the pastimes of the Lord and the pastimes of the pure devotees, that when they come to this world, that this is the pastime. This is the pastime. As Krishna manifests his pastimes 5,000 years ago in Rasalila and conjugal relationships and Sakyaras, Vasayaras in Brajabhumi Vrindavan, but on the stage of material existence. When he comes in Kali Yuga, he comes right into the thick of it, right down on the corner of Fifth Avenue in New York, you know, Champs-Élysées and in Paris and Rome. These pastimes are taking place, and he invites all the conditioned souls to come and chant in there, so we get to participate in the pastime. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Of course, we're not liberated but by engaging in those pastimes, Jeto Darpana Marjanam. There's no process that is more potent than engaging in distributing the glories of the Holy Name for cleansing the heart of all Anarthas. It's described that bathing in Mother Ganges frees one of all contamination. All glories to Ganga Mata. Therefore, people in India, they live on the bank of the Ganges or sacred rivers because they know one of the glories of Bharat is you can just live on the side of a river and get purified every day by bathing and drinking the water of the Ganga. But the Ganga water cannot free you from the desires which are the source of the karma. You act on your material desires, you get the reaction. But chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. This is described by Haridasa Thakur, Namacharya, who fully knows the glories of the Holy Name. All the material desires, all the karmic reactions go. What's more, the material desires are uprooted and thrown to a distant place. They won't bother you. Too far away. Goodbye. And what's more, he said these things, this is something nice he said, but the real glories of the Holy Name is that the chanting awakens the prem, the bhav in your heart, in due course of time. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said in one lecture, early 30s, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. This is the power of the Maha Mantra. So that was the pastimes of the Panchatattva. So in Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago, Balaram, who is an embodiment of compassion, mercy, he didn't get the opportunity to spread to liberate the conditioned souls in the same way as he did as Nittai. We hear from Kaviraj Goswami that during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, all the living entities in the universe went back to Godhead. Where were we? I don't know. So potent. So in Krishna Lila, Balaram didn't get that facility. It was mainly a display of the pastimes. But in Gaura Lila, Lord Chaitanya breaks open the storehouse of love of Godhead, and Lord Nityananda is the chief distributor of that mercy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says I'm just quoting, that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates are more glorious than their pastimes in the spiritual world. Because you know in the spiritual world, there's a corner of the spiritual world, Svetadvipa, where Mahaprabhu is engaging in sankirtan with the devotees. And sometimes when you become Jivan Mukta Suchite, you become a liberated soul in this material, you go back to Godhead. Some devotees go to the Vrindavan pastimes and some go to the Navadvipa pastimes. And I read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said some devotees are in both. Like, I don't understand that, but one time I asked Prabhupada a question. I said, Prabhupada, you say that the pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere, in everything. Therefore, he's always associating with the Lord. But then we read we hear from the Shikshastakam prayers, the devotee is praying that he's feeling separation from Krishna, so much so that a moment seems like 12 years or more. So it appears to be a contradiction. The pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere, but at the same time he's feeling separation from Krishna. So I said, how do we reconcile this Srila Prabhupada? So Prabhupada looked at me for a long time. He said, that you will only know when you are very advanced. I remember it was like, you know, Prabhupada said something, it stayed with you, you know, it's like etched in my heart. And then the other day I was listening to a tape, and I kind of fell asleep, you know, and then I woke up, and then I hear my voice on the tape. Srila Prabhupada, you said that the pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere, but at the same time Lord Chaitanya says that he's feeling separation. How do we reconcile this? And there's this pause. And I'm like, what? You will understand that when you are very advanced. And I found the tape. I jumped out of bed. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was dancing in ecstasy. I found the tape with Prabhupada. The conversation with Srila Prabhupada is like finding an old picture of yourself with Prabhupada, you know, from something like that. So, this is the mercy that Nittai, he, as Balaram, he's they're performing, but it's like jumping off the stage, like sometimes on our festival tour. You know, it gets us so, the kirtan's so ecstatic that we do some stage diving. We just jump off of the stage into the audience, and all, like we have this big Woodstock festival. We participate in a Woodstock festival in Europe where 400,000 people come, and our Krishna's Village of Peace is at the center of the entire function. There's a big, you know, stage someplace else, but amongst the sea of tents, the organizers allow us to have our village. It's literally a village, 1 acre of land. And in the evening, we don't play lots of songs and lots of bands like they do on the main stage. We have one group, and we chant the same song for 24 hours, for 24 hours a day for 3 days. And that song is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And hundreds, sometimes thousands of kids come and join in the kirtan. Something special about when you chant with the non-devotees. It's like there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. You're doing japa, that's perfect. More perfect is to have congregational chanting with the devotees. Most perfect is when you take the chanting to the streets and you wake up Jiv Jago, the living entities, and you see their excitement and the taste they're getting from their first experience of chanting Hare Krishna. That, because the holy name is most merciful there at that time. So we're seeing these reactions like this, all these kids. So sometimes, just to encourage the kids, some of the senior devotees, they'll dive into the audience, because that's what they do, you know, these kids. So we kind of imitate. And then they carry us around the tent, you know, we're like this. And all these karmi kids are rolling us. And we're chanting like that. We're engaging them in the Sankirtan movement. So Lord Nityananda, that's what he does. And by engaging the conditioned souls in the chanting of the Maha Mantra, they become liberated. So he delivers them. Nitai Parakamalam Kochi Chandra Shushitala Ye Jai Jaya Jagat Jagaya. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are like the cool moonlight of a million moons, under whose shelter everyone can find relief from the blazing fire of material suffering. So he's a very special incarnation. Because Mahaprabhu, you know, he preached to the elite, the upper class. We say in French, le bourgeois. It's not easy to preach to the bourgeois. I was in France for 15 years. You know, I could go on the streets and do Harinam with the people at the Marché de Puce, which means the flea market, or the Marché de Pigalle. We would go, and there'd be all, you know, the lower class people. We'd chant and dance with them. It was so nice. And we'd go on the streets of Paris. But to approach the bourgeois, the people who lived in the arrondissements, in their big buildings with locked doors and gates, very hard to get to them. And very difficult to deliver them because they're in very good condition. Why I should accept God, one man said to me one time. I am living very nicely, I don't need God. Hard to preach to someone who's intoxicated with beauty, with wealth, with fame, with knowledge. It's difficult. So Mahaprabhu would do that. He preached to the intelligentsia. He delivered Pakasananda Saraswati. He was Mayavad. Okay, so Mayavadis are the worst offenders, but they're not fools. Yashodananda and Guru Kripa Maharajas, they had to study for years before they went to South India and could preach to the pandits and the Mayavadi sannyasis in South India. It wasn't just, you know, you better accept Krishna or you're going to hell. You have to learn all the verses from the Shastras. You have to be experienced. You have to be purified. You're intelligent. So Mahaprabhu, he preached to the Prakashananda Saraswatis. He preached to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Yes, he's a devotee, but before he was a devotee, he was a logician. The head priest in Jagannath Puri. Very intelligent, but he couldn't even recognize that Lord Chaitanya was God until the Lord was in his house for 7 days, and then he got, oh, you're Bhagavan. He preached to Maharaj Pataparudra, big king, also very intelligent. But for the mass of people, Mahaprabhu sent out his commander-in-chief, Lord Nityananda, who went with Haridas Thakur, door to door. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. We should never hesitate to go out on Sankirtan. Oh, you know, I have something more important to do. That's the most important activity. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone loves you. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's because I love everyone. And that love is manifested when you see your lover in distress, you have to go out and help them. The whole world is suffering, Krishna consciousness. So to go out and preach, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when will my humility manifest? And with a lowly heart, I'll go out to preach the divine command. He's begging for that opportunity. So that's Nittai. He goes out door to door. Therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur glorifies him by saying that he's Tattva Simha, the very limit of the absolute truth. Because he's Purna Shakti, the total potency of God, Shesha Vigraha, the embodiment of service, and Murti Mana Krishna Prem. Nittai is a very embodiment of love of God. So we know that his pastimes, they began at a very early age, because Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth again in this material world. So when the Lord appears, it's something extraordinary. And he appeared as the son of Hadai Pandit and Mother Padmavati in the village of Ekachakra in the year 1473 by the calculation of our Christian calendar. Actually, Hadai Pandit and Mother Padmavati, they were unable to conceive a child since they were married. But Shastra says that one night a great sage appeared to Mother Padmavati in her dream, and he said to her, do not worry, you will soon have as your son a Mahapurusha possessing unlimited Shakti, who would deliver thousands of sinners from bondage. Can you imagine, ladies? If you're newly married and you're going to have children, and then you have a dream, one saintly person appears in your dream, and he says, do not worry, you will soon have as your son a Mahapurusha possessing unlimited Shakti, who will deliver thousands of sinners from bondage. I mean, just to have a Krishna conscious dream is something unusual. Although I was speaking with a young girl the other day, she was only 7. And I said, you know, we were just walking with some children. So, you know, you talk to the children in a simple way. And I said to this little girl, I said, she's an ISKCON devotee living in Vrindavan. She's born in Vrindavan. I said, do you ever have any dreams about Krishna? She looked at me like, what do you mean? Every night. Oh, really? So, but she says, mainly I dream of Radharani. I said, I see, okay. So, what do you dream? She said, well, I'm always doing seva for Radharani. I'm making garlands. And you know, you have to make the sandalwood paste in a particular way. It has to be a particular consistency with a particular color, you know? I said, no, I don't know. She said, you don't know? And the garland has to be this long. You have to present it to her at the right time in the morning. She was this kid. She said, but you have to give the garland. But when you give it to Radha, she gives it to Krishna. But don't be discouraged. Okay, I won't. Because she does everything for Krishna. Because she's Krishna's greatest devotee. And she got like all teary-eyed. God. So I said, I'd like to serve Radharani too. She said, you can't. Excuse me? She said, you can't. I said, why? Because you're in a male body. Okay, Hare Krishna. So we took prasadam. I took some prasadam off her plate and ate it. So the mother, the future mother of Lord Nityananda, she had that dream. So after the birth of Nittai, it was seen that he wasn't an ordinary child, because when he would play, they wouldn't play, you know, just games. They would do leela. And they knew the leelas very well. One time he fell on, they were the boys were doing Ramayana, and he fell unconscious from the fight, and he only revived himself when the boy who was playing Hanuman brought some Sanjeevani, the life-saving herb, to revive him. So all the parents were thinking, how do they know all these pastimes? But during his youth, he grew up a very fine young boy. And when he was 12, Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip. Because Balaram is a little older than Krishna, so when they appear together in Gauralila, then Nitai was a little older as well. So Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip, and when he appeared in Navadvip, it's described by Vrindavan Das Thakur that Lord Nityananda roared so loud, he made the whole entire universe fall unconscious. And he thought, how will I ever leave this Ekachakra? My mother and father have so much affection for me. But one day, to make a long story short, because we can't go on all day, but one day a very tall sannyasi came to the house of Hadai Pandit, and as you know the pastime, he, because when a sannyasi, one of the renounced order, visits the household and gives the most precious gift of transcendental knowledge to the household, then the householders reciprocate by feeding him or something, sometimes they give a donation. And actually it's stated, whatever a sannyasi wants, you have to give him. You hear that? Whatever he wants, you have to give him. Because you have confidence, he'll use it 100% in Krishna's service. So then Hadai Pandit, out of tradition, custom, he said, so, Baba, what would you like? Your son. What? I want your son. So Hadai Pandit went and consulted with Pamavati, but she had to agree, but she was crying and crying and crying, but they gave. And the tall renunciate was walking out of the house with Lord Nityananda, and then Mother Padmavati said to the sadhu, please don't take my life from me. Prandanahe Jaya Radha Rasa Bihari, Radha Rasa Bihari, Prandanahe Prabhupada Prandanahe. The deity Krishna is the life and soul of the devotee. One time Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and he was praying for a long time in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish, and Nanda Kumar asked him, Prabhupada, what are you praying? He said, Prabhupada, I am praying to Rukmini Dwarkadish to please engage me in the service of Radharasa Bihari in Bombay. So these deities are the heart. The Acharya asked the Lord to appear in that form, so they're the front, the life and soul of those. So if the Lord appears in your home as your son, then he's your life and soul. So Mother Padmavati was saying to the sadhu, don't take my Nitai away, he's my life. It's like taking the soul from the body. So that sannyasi, he took from his bag a deity of Muralidhar, Krishna playing the flute, and gave that deity to Mother Padmavati, and he said, he will fulfill all your desires. In fact, you will see your own son in this deity. The deity worship. Archivigraha means the mercy incarnation of the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya gave the Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami, he said, if you worship this Shila according to the proper standard as I've given you, a very simple standard, one day within this Shila you will see the son of Maharaj Nanda. And this is the hope of every pujari. My dear Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda, the young Brahmana said in Vrindavan to Shakshi Goval. So Mother Padmavati, she took that deity and while looking at him with loving eyes, saw the face of Nitai in the deity. So her heart was satisfied and she said, all right, you can leave. Such great souls who can understand. So they traveled together, the sannyasi and Lord Nityananda. They traveled to various holy places. And at one time, the sannyasi just disappeared. He gave up. Like in Vrindavan, I had one good friend, Ramdas. I met him in South India. He was a some kind of smarta brahmana, but he came in contact with Mahaprabhu's movement, became convinced and retired to Vrindavan. And every year, I met him in 71, and in the late, early 90s, I would come to see him every year, and one day I came to his ashram and he wasn't there. So I said to the sadhus, "Where is he?" So I don't know. What does that mean? No, but I'm Westerner and not so cultured.
Golok.
Golok. So that this in Vrindavan they go like this, it means he's gone. So that's sannyasi. So Nitai kept traveling and he went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan he met the Dvaitacharya. Famous meeting. Then he continued traveling. Bhakti Ratnakar describes that he came to Pandharpur, where he met the guru of Madhavendrapuri, Lakshmipati. And Nitai took initiation from Lakshmipati. Why does the Lord have to take initiation? He doesn't. He's the source of all transcendental knowledge, but he's setting the example. Even Lord Chaitanya, he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. So just like we hear when Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwarapuri, what happened? A whole transformation came over him. He was chanting before, but after initiation, what happened? He was crying incessant tears of love of God. So Nitai, when he took initiation from Lakshmipati, the guru of Madhavendrapuri, he became overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms. And this is important. Because Prabhupada, quoting the Acharyas, has said that anyone can get benefit from chanting Hare Krishna, as we mentioned earlier. You can become free from sinful reactions. You can become free from material desires. But if you want to achieve prema, you have to receive the mantra from the mouth of a guru in bona fide disciplic succession. That underlines the importance of diksha. Everyone's invited to chant, and you feel the effects of the sinful reactions. You know, it's just like after a shower, Prabhupada said, you feel refreshed. So when you chant Hare Krishna for a long time, it's not mythology, it's a fact. The purifying force is there. Namat Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. There's no difference between Krishna and his name. So if he's dancing on your tongue for so many years, something has to happen. Even to the most hard-hearted fool. If the animals of Jarikunda could experience ecstatic symptoms and give up their envious spirit, and the tigers could embrace the deers and smile, certainly if we chant Hare Krishna, something's going to happen. What's going to happen is Chetodarpanam Arjanam. But the prem will only come if you follow the example of the Acharyas, even the Lord Himself. You have to take initiation into the Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Because the true spiritual masters are the ones who give you the highest goal. What is the highest goal? Golok. We don't say that disrespectfully to other Sampradayas, but we consider ourselves very fortunate. So he became mad with Krishna Prema, and he traveled for 20 years, Lord Nityananda. He ended up back in Vrindavan. By this time, it was time for the Sankirtan movement to begin. One of the most important moments in the history of India, or the history of the world, the history of the universe, the history of creation. This is the real news. People celebrate national holidays, military victories, their own birthdays. But people should be aware, when did the Sankirtan movement start? That movement by which the whole universe can be liberated, it began 20 years after Lord Nityananda took birth. So it should be a national holiday in India. It was time for the two brothers to meet. So by divine inspiration, Lord Nityananda set out for Navadvip to find his bhai, to find his brother. And Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that on the way to Navadvip from Vrindavan, but it wasn't easy in those days. Now you can take the Rajdhani Express, or you can fly. In the old days, we didn't fly. Prabhupada said, no, it's too much money. If someone took an airplane, Prabhupada was upset. We were just taking trains. Things have changed so much, I remember. Prabhupada, I was there, and Prabhupada chastised, why you've taken an aeroplane? At least you should take horseless carriage. I was thinking, wow, Prabhupada's really coming from a different time. He called a car a horseless carriage. Like this. So, but then trains, we were taking trains like this. So he walked. Yitai walked, and it's described that Vrindavan Das Thakur describes very nicely, intoxicated with Gaura Prema, as he walked, he was swinging to and fro like an elephant, intoxicated elephant. I've never seen an intoxicated elephant, but apparently they sway. Like you see, sometimes elephants are eating, they're happy, so they sway back and forth like this. So he was walking like an intoxicated elephant. Sometimes he wept, sometimes he cried, and sometimes he laughed like a madman. And being the avaduta that he was, he wore blue dhoti. You know, at the very minimum, he's sadhu. But sadhus, they dress like in kopan, or they have a white cloth, but he's dressed in a blue dhoti with tulsi and rudraksha beads around his neck. He also wore a shivling around his neck, big earring in one ear, and ankle bells on his feet. Dhyani Thai! Because his movement is a movement of the people. He appeared to deliver everyone, including the masses. So the masses are attracted like this. The Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi, they couldn't understand when Lord Chaitanya came through, and as a sannyasi, he was singing and dancing. Sannyasis in those days, they didn't sing and dance. They stayed home and they studied Vedanta. Atato brahma janasya. Yes, yes, yes. Say it again. Atato. And then they look out the window. Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Madha. They're dancing. Who is that? Some crazy fanatic calling himself a sannyasi. They didn't understand. But Mahaprabhu was introducing this movement that everyone could become Krishna conscious by singing and dancing, some philosophy and prasadam, the secret weapon. Nitai also would wear beautiful armlets on his biceps like this. And there would be 9 jewels, like Navaratna actually, 9 jewels here. And he would wear it like this, very, very beautiful, dancing like this. One Goswami, I won't say that. Should I say? One Goswami in Vrindavan, he inherited these jewels as they came down from hundreds of years. Janava Mata, she got those, specifically the armlets here. She also acquired the Shivaling and some earrings and ankle bells. They were passed down for many centuries. Eventually they came to the Radha Damodar temple, and the family in charge of taking care of the samadhi of Jiva Goswami, they were in charge of those jewels of Nitai. And unfortunately, some contamination came and they were starting to sell some of these items of our previous acharyas. So one Goswami took them all and kept them into his house and put them in a safe in Delhi for hundreds of years. And I was able to see them, those jewels. And while I was picking up one of the armlets of Nitai, one little jewel fell out. I looked at Goswami, I said, I think that's a sign. He said, that may be or may not be. He said, that because you are servant of Prabhupadji, who has spread Lord Nityananda's Sankirtan movement all over the world, in honor of your guru, who is like a Shaktavish avatar, you may take that jewel. But he said, keep it confidential. So this is family. I took it, I put it into a red jewel, and I put it into a ring. And sometimes I wear it, but I feel so fallen. I just worship it on my altar. Full artik, full bog every day. ring, and then on special occasions, I think I'll wear it this afternoon, you can see that ring, some special mercy like that. So after Nittai arrived in Navadvip, he went to the house of Nanda Acharya. And that night, after he arrived in Navadvip, and that's where Lord Chaitanya was as well, Lord Chaitanya had a dream. Of course, it's all yoga nidra, isn't it? Don't think they dream like us. And we dream, we're like, last night I dreamt I was flying through the sky somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, I was flying. I woke up, wow. Wait a minute, that's nothing special. So what? But when the pure devotee, Prabhupada said to us in Chicago, there was never a moment in my life I have ever forgotten the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. I was a young devotee. I was so impressed. Wow. I hardly remember them once. You never forgot them your whole life. So in dream, when the pure devotee or the Lord dreams, it's all yoga nidra. It's all, the pastimes are continuing. It's not they come into illusion. So he, Mahaprabhu dreamed, woke up in the morning, he said to his associates, I have become mad with the love of Lord Balaram. Bring me my liquors! Because, you know, Balaram had the pastime of drinking the Varuni beverage. He became intoxicated like this, his pastimes. So Shivas Pandit said, my Lord, you have these liquors of love of God and you're already distributing them to others in the form of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So Mahaprabhu, he said to Shivas, he said, you're right. I don't need my Varuni beverage. He said, I have my Nittai. And I need my Nittai to distribute these liquors to the fallen masses. Because when you have something nice and you have a lot of it, you're duty-bound to distribute it to others. That was Brahminical life. The Brahmin would, after the yogi, he would get so much money, facilities, properties. He would take only what he needed to keep body and soul together. The rest he would distribute it to those who were more needy. This is Brahminical life. The Brahmin would never charge for his services. He'd just take what he needed for his facility and he'd distribute the rest. So this is devotee also. We have so much mercy, what we can do with it. One time Prabhupada's father, he said to little Abai, the Lord is so great. He has so many hands as the Mahapurusha. What your two little hands can hold when he gives you? How much mercy can we take? So much mercy is coming, we sometimes forget. They live in an ocean of inauspiciousness. We live in an ocean. We swim in an ocean of mercy. Maybe we become a little familiar with it sometimes. But why? You take as much mercy as you can get. Prabhupada said, take to your full satisfaction. Prasad. But prasad also means, it means mercy. It doesn't just mean prasadam. Take as much nectar of the holy name as you want. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. As a householder, you can have nice facilities to raise your children so they're peaceful and happy in Krishna. That's okay. But how? Lord is giving unlimited mercy. What your two little hands can hold, you have to take it and go out and distribute it. Prabhupada said the duty of a first-class man is to make a fifth-class man also a first-class man. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, sometimes I feel so bad to see how people are suffering in this world. Prabhupada shot back, why sometimes? That devotee told me the next hour he was out on the street distributing books. This is a preaching mission. This is the heart of ISKCON, because this was the heart of Prabhupada, because it was the heart of Nittai, was the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the heart of Radha and Krishna. Why are they coming here? To deliver the conditioned soul. They're inviting us in this age to participate. Our greatest fortune is we can go out on the street, which is really, you could say, our real temple in Kali Yuga. That's our real temple because that's where we feel closest to Lord. Sometimes, you know, having done some years of Sankirtan on the streets, you know, when I smell the fumes of cars, I think, ah, that's nice. Someone said to me the other day, "What do you mean, Maharaj? Close the window." I said, "No, leave the window. Let the fumes." Yeah, we were here in Mumbai. The black smoke was coming in from the three-wheelers. "What? You're crazy?" "No, it reminds me of Sankirtan on the Champs-Élysées in Paris in 1975. You know, you go into the country, it's very nice. You drive into a smoggy city with all kinds of buildings, masses of people. Ah, this is ecstasy. "What? Are you crazy?" "Yeah, I'm crazy. Crazy to go out and preach and chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare." So Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivastava Thakur and he said, "To distribute this Krishna prema in the form of the Maha Mantra, I need Nitai. Go find him." So Srivastava Thakur said, "Where is he?" Mahaprabhu knew. He's here. He's in Navadvip. So Haridas Thakur and Srivas Pandit together, they went looking for Nitai everywhere. And then all, you know, Navadvip, knocking on the doors. "Have you seen Nitai?" "No, have you seen Nitai?" "No." But Vrindavan Das Thakur says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, "Bada Goda Nityananda Tatva E Avatare Chaitanya Dikaya Jare Se Dekiti Pare." He alone can see him who Lord Chaitanya shows. In other words, you can't see Krishna unless Krishna wants to reveal himself to you. That's the whole science of Krishna consciousness. From that, "Bring me God, I'll only believe if I can see him." What is your qualification for seeing him? You have to purify the heart. You have to track the Lord with devotional service. "I can be understood as I am only through the process of devotional service." And when one is in full consciousness of me by such service, he can enter the kingdom of God. It's by this service that we attract the attention of the Lord. So, Bada Goda Nityananda Tata E Avatare Chaitanya Dikaya Jare Se Dekiti Pare. He alone can see him who Lord Chaitanya reveals. So, Srivas and Thakur Haridas, they came back empty-handed. Just the pastime. So then Mahaprabhu smiled. He said, "Follow me." "Yes, we will follow you back, Mahaprabhu. We will follow you back home, back to Godhead." And they went to the house of Nanda Acharya. And you could say that when the door opened and Mahaprabhu walked into the house of Nandacharya, and there was Nitai sitting, and both the transcendental brothers stood up, and they saw each other, you know, Krishna Balaram, Lord Chaitanya, as they ran towards each other, leapt into the air, embraced and twirled, and came down, landed on the ground, and started crying tears of ecstatic love of Godhead. What a movie that would make. Because all these movies are about emotion. But Prabhupada said, at best this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. All the emotions of the spiritual world are present here in the material world. Because we're jivas. We are sentient beings. We have spiritual bodies. We have spiritual desires. We have spiritual emotions. So we don't lose them. We're eternally spirit souls. But the emotions become perverted. Like sometimes the air goes through the rose field, it smells very nice. Sometimes the air goes through the stool field, it smells very bad. So in our association, we were in the association of the Lord, but then when we come here, then everything becomes polluted. So we have the same emotions, but they're covered. They manifest in a perverted way. There's only one emotion that we have here, which is not there in the spiritual world, that is envy. It's not there. So therefore, envy is described as one of the three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Greed's like envy. So like that, we have to be very careful. So, what we see in the Lord's pastimes and why we have to hear the Leelas and read the Shastras is to understand what is the real emotion. The real rasa. So the movies, the songs, the theater, the poetry, everything by which you express emotion in this world, it's all perverted. It's strong because we're sentient beings and we have to express our desires to love, but the original love for Radha and Krishna becomes perverted as lust in this mature world, as compared to the difference between iron and gold. They're both metals, but one is cheap and one is priceless. So therefore we should be very careful not to associate with the emotions of this material world, which will contaminate our hearts, which we're trying to purify. Sometimes when I'm going and visiting temples, I take out the white earphones of someone listening to an iPod or an iPad or a computer, some of the young people, and I put it in my ear. No, no, Swami, don't! And I hear some... Why are you listening to that? No, it's not so bad. It is not so bad. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matta, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. And even one moment association with a pure-hearted devotee can begin you on the path to perfection. Then shouldn't it also hold true that one moment of association with someone who's absorbed in the mundane material energy, that can also be a cause of fall down? Oh yes, Swamiji, I will. Let me see your iPod. I'm looking, you know. Ah, oh, finally at the bottom of Prabhupada Bhajan. Oh, there's Aindra. Put on Aindra. And nowadays, it's getting worse. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to come back birth after birth and distribute your books. Prabhupada looked at him. Are you crazy? He said, I appreciate the sentiment that you want to serve your spiritual master's order. He said, but don't come back. This Kali Yuga is a very degraded age. It's going to get worse. Try to go back in this lifetime. So, especially the movie industry, which I see now is very big. And I actually heard the biggest movie industry in the world is in India. And it's all centered here in Mumbai. Watch out. You know, sometimes on the planes, you can't help it. You get a glimpse of somebody watching a movie next to you. Oh my God. OMG. What they are showing on the screens these days. There's nothing they're not showing, and I won't go into detail because this is a august assembly, and we're in the presence of the Lord. And remember what happened to... Who was that? It happened to a lot of people. It happened to the Brahmana who was walking through the forest and saw the Sudras. Ajamil, thank you. Good Brahmachari. And he said it, he looked down, Ajamil. I say, Krishna. He says, Ajamil. But Ajamil was delivered also by the mercy of the Lord. He just saw a Sudra couple embracing. He Paka Brahman, Saraswati Brahmana. To be very careful. So, these, if we want to see spiritual emotion manifest in theater, in art, and dance, and music, then you, Sura Prabhu, you just... He's probably the embodiment of ISKCON culture in ISKCON. Give him a big round of applause. Like Prabhupada said, at one time he said, Tripurari is the incarnation of book distribution. He's the incarnation of culture in ISKCON. He knows how important that's terribly. Prabhupada said one time, we will take the world over by culture. Because people, they like to go to a play, they like to go to a theater, they like to go to this. You know, nowadays the philosophy is kind of declining. Go to a theater, a music, dance like that. So we have the topmost culture in the world. And it's purely Krishna conscious. So we should do it so well that people don't want to go to the mundane movie. They don't want to go to the mundane theater. They want to go to the mundane dance, the katha. They want to go to ISKCON and see the highest culture manifest in these cultural activities. It's so important. Presenting Krishna consciousness through culture. Of course, that's what I do, so I'm kind of harping on it also. Following in his footsteps. But you'll see at our festival program, it's all culture. And I give a class on Bhagavad Gita. But it's not like, what do they call it, Sapta? Bhagavad Sapta. Not like that. Nowadays a mass of people, Bhagavad Sapta, They're waiting for the prasadam at the end. But Krishna conscious ISKCON can present it in such a way where it makes it very attractive. We've tried to refine it in our program. We make it, there's a little tinge of Western influence in there because even Indian people are very much becoming Westernized. Rudra Kipling said, East is East and West, and never the twain shall meet. I'm sorry, Mr. Kipling, we have proved you wrong in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have perfectly blended a little bit of the Western with the Eastern culture, made it attractive. So in Gujarat, we had 5,000-10,000 people for every program. At the end, a standing applause. Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Many people came, wow, I didn't know my culture was so beautiful. I'm going to start reading Bhagavad Gita and chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Rama. So this would make a great movie. I believe there are some devotees working now on the Ramayana or Mahabharata. So here, Nitai, Commander-in-Chief of the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Varnan Tushak Krishnam Shango Panga Shriparshadam, Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Shumadasha. The two brothers are meeting to begin the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Mahaprabhu said, I searched the whole world over, but could not find you. Now I have found the very thief who has stolen my heart. Now I will never let you go, Nitai. So he sent Nitai out on practical door-to-door preaching with Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was a little older, and Lord Nityananda was younger, but very handsome, tall, charismatic, beautiful, being the Lord, nicely dressed, as I mentioned. And sometimes it's described that they would knock on the door, and Nitai would say, please, accept the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and go back to Godhead. And the people would say, no, we are not interested. We are not interested in these things. Well, we want... So Lord Nityananda, he would push the door open, he would get on the ground, he'd roll around the house, breaking all the furniture. Everything crashing, boom, pow, down. He said, I will not stop until you chant Hare Krishna. So the whole household, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And once you chant, you're captured. That's what happens. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to chant, even though Agyat Sukriti means you may hear the mantra, you may not agree, but you heard and the poison has entered the heart. One time we were on Sankirtan in Paris, and Prabhupada was visiting the temple at that time. We would come back every night and give a report. So we went on Sankirtan one Saturday afternoon near the Galerie Lafayette. We had about 40 devotees, and we were singing Hare Krishna. Hare. We didn't have microphones in those days, or accordions, or bugles, or we just, you know. And people were passing by, and devotees were giving out invitations to come see Prabhupada and doing some books. And one lady, I was leading the kirtan with the clay drum. She came and she stood just right here in front of me. Nicely dressed lady. And she stuck her tongue out, which is quite offensive. I'm not going to even show you how she did it. But in your mind. And she closed her eyes, and she took her fingers and put them in her ear. Something like that. 20 minutes. So, you know, I try not to look at her, you know. I'm thinking, geez. So eventually she went away. She took an invitation. She tore it up. We came back to the temple, and Prabhupada called me to his room. So he said, Sohinder Dumna, how was the Harinam today? Well, you know, I was tired. I had a little flu, and you know, I wasn't feeling very well. I should have, you know, we should always, I should have been positive in front of Prabhupada, because it wasn't, I said, Prabhupada, it wasn't easy. And he looked at me and he took his fist, he slammed on the table. I thought the marble was going to break. When did I ever say preaching was easy? Tell me! And I froze. Tell me, when did I ever say the preaching was easy?
This is the material world. These are conditioned souls. It's not easy. Do you understand? Yes, Prabhupada?
So sometimes now, you know, many years later I'm preaching and it's not easy. I just tolerate. One time Prabhupada slapped me on the back. I brought his luggage upstairs. It's a long story, but I was very tired and paid obeisances in front of him, and then wham, he slapped me on the back very hard. I thought he was angry. Nanda Kumara's servant was there, so then I stood up and Prabhupada left to go get his massage. I said, "What happened?" He said, "Prabhupada slapped you on the back." I said, "Yeah, I know." So what did he say? He said, "So much endeavor in this material world, but when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime." So what Prabhupada said to one was meant for all. He was addressing all of us. So sometimes when it gets difficult, because preaching is difficult, I just close my eyes and remember, okay, just a little bit longer, and then Prabhupada will take me back to Godhead. You can tolerate like that. So, Nitai would roll on the ground, people would complain, but then they'd chant Hare Krishna, and the poison would enter the heart. So Prabhupada said to me, when did I ever say preaching? I said, "You never said." So I said, what was the difficulty? So I didn't want to say anything after that. What was the difficulty? So, "Well, Prabhupada, you know, we're chanting, and this lady comes in front of the kirtan party, and she stands and she sticks her tongue out." Prabhupada went, "Oh, she did?" I said, "Yes." And then she stuck her fingers in her ears and closed her eyes. Prabhupada went, "Oh." He felt so sorry for her. I couldn't believe it. I was angry, and Prabhupada felt sorry for her. One time I saw Prabhupada, I came into his room at New Mayapur, and we invited hundreds of villagers to come and take prasad with us. And Prabhupada gave a short lecture and came upstairs. And then when I came in his room to bring his chadar, which he had left behind on the lawn, he was standing looking out the window to all the people taking prasadam, hundreds of karmis, for the first time. And I didn't want to interrupt Prabhupada because, you know, it was just not the proper etiquette. So I just stood there waiting like maybe 15 minutes. Prabhupada was looking at everyone taking prasadam. Such a simple act. And then he turned around and the tears were streaming down his eyes. And he saw me, but he didn't address me directly. He just said, "Let them take prasad." And immediately that verse came to my mind, Chaturvyashi Bhagava Prasano, how the spiritual master takes great pleasure when he sees his disciples taking prasadam. So Prabhupada was so pleased seeing the non-devotees taking prasadam because he knew it was their first step in going back home, back to Godhead, because the seed was planted. You get that benefit. It stays with you life after life. Next lifetime, you get another opportunity to take prasadam. Like that. I just remember his eyes were just, he said, "Let them take prasad." I didn't, I was like, and then Prabhupada said, "So?" And I went, "I brought your chadar." He said, "All right, you can go." Because he was kind of embarrassed because he was crying. And I walked out backwards so I could keep seeing the tears on his faces and remember Prabhupada's compassion for people. When will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest, and with a lowly heart I will go out to preach the divine command? Nowadays tattoos are very prominent in ISKCON, so I'm not in favor of tattoos, but someone can get that tattoo. When will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest, and with a lowly heart I will go out to preach the divine command, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the essence, the seed of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada said to me, "So what did you do, Indradyumna?" You know, the lady standing there with her fingers in her ears. "What did you do?" I said, "Prabhupada, I didn't do anything." "You did not do anything? What was I supposed to do?" Prabhupada said, "You should have gone up to her and pulled her fingers from her ears, turned her head, and in her ear chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." The least I could do, I said, Okay, next time I'll do that, Prabhupada. It didn't happen again. So in this way, Nithai would, he would get people to chant. One time Prabhupada told us, tax your brains how to spread this Sankirtan movement. That verse, that shloka, well, it's from the mouth of Prabhupada, it's none different than a shloka. We were in Gujarat and devotees were discussing how to, you know, get more people to come to the festivals as if we didn't have enough. So one of our devotees, I think Jayatam came up with the idea, Nandini? Subhuti Roy, the person in charge of our theater group. He got the idea that we would get camels with, you know, they have the wagon behind the camel, and we would put all our actors dressed up in their various performing costumes, and we would put them on three or four camels on those carts, and with the instruments we chant to the town. I thought, wow, that's really crazy. Camel kirtan? And we did it, and we doubled the attendance. Because people thought, wow, look at that. The Hare Krishnas have invented something, really, you know? Because camels are usually taking, you know, the bricks and the this and that, and that the Hare Krishnas are using the camels. I looked at the camels, looked like the camels were dancing in ecstasy, I know. And giving out invitations, and all the while just chanting, you know, like that. And it was easier because it was hot, and we didn't have to, like, walk, you know, and it worked. So tax your brain. So Nitai's method, I don't necessarily think we have to employ this nowadays. He would go to the house, he'd roll on the ground, break all the furniture until people chanted Hare Krishna. And sometimes, because he was Balaram, he'd be in ecstasy. When the young girls would come to the door with their fathers, he would look at them and say, would you like to dance with me? Because he saw them as gopis. Balaram has his set of gopis, like Krishna's. And Haridas Thakur would get so upset. He said, you can't talk like that to the young girls. We're not going to understand. You have to, every house, would you like to dance? Rasalila. So Haridas Thakur would come back and he complained to Lord Chaitanya that Nitai uses these most novel ways for spreading the Sankirtan movement. And actually we see that our acharyas were in the same mood. Because what Lord Chaitanya did, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he innovated. He innovated. He started, you know, Bhakti Viksha programs, and he wrote books in English and so forth. Then Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati, he would dress it like the English and wear leather shoes and invite them. And Prabhupada initiated the girls, gave them Gayatri Mantra. They're doing the puja on the altar and sent them out on Sankirtan and said the girls are doing as good as the boys. He was very fatherly, so as a sannyasi to his spiritual daughters. So like this, Prabhupada said that the acharya, he must be able to preach according to time, place, and circumstance. So sometimes he has to be a little innovative. And that we can do with the medium of culture. We can be a little innovative in order to get the message through. So it all comes from Nitai. So, you know, sometimes they'd be traveling along the road and Nitai, intoxicated by love of God, he'd jump into the Ganges and he'd chase the crocodiles. He'd get on top of a crocodile and said, I am riding a bull, I am Shiva. Sometimes they'd go past the houses where all the cowherd people would keep their yogurt. He'd break in and steal all the yogurt. And of course, we know the pastime of delivering Jagai and Madhai. But do remember that Jagai and Madhai, they weren't just comical characters like we do at our Sunday feast. How many times, I don't know, maybe today there's a play that's prepared. You know, Jagai and Madhai, we get, you know, the vice president of the temple and the head cook and, you know, they play and, you know, Jagai and Madhai, it's kind of comical. Everyone laughs. No. They were dacoits. They were of the worst. They were born in Brahmin families, but they were of the worst character. They were mafioso. And it was nothing for them to kill people who didn't fulfill their desires. So that when Mahaprabhu came finally, because Madhai hit Nitai, we have to at least briefly mention the pastime. He hit Nitai on the head with a pot. and the blood was flowing. So that was too much for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he brought the Sudarsan. He was about to employ it. And Nitai intervened on our behalf. If we identify with someone, we should identify more with Jagai and Madhai than Jai and Vijay. Oh yes, I am devotee so many years. I am chanting Hare Krishna. You should offer some respect. Wait a minute, you just came off the street by cosmic time a few seconds ago. We should never consider ourselves better than the non-devotees. We consider ourselves more fortunate than them. Because we should not let pride come into our hearts, because the most outstanding quality of a Vaishnava is their humility. So, Nitai intervened on our behalf, because we're aspiring devotees. Of course, some of you are more than aspiring. You're already great devotees. But our mood should be that I'm an aspiring devotee. I heard in Chicago a devotee say to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are the greatest devotee. And Prabhupada bowed his head and he blushed. I was sitting right next to him. He said, I'm not devotee. He said, I'm trying to become a devotee. He said, a Vaishnava is a very exalted thing. So, on our behalf, Nitai intervened and he said, Mahaprabhu, if you kill them, because they are very sinful, you'll have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, even if you want to be good, you're forced to be bad by bad association, which is all pervading now because of technology. You don't want to hear what somebody's playing on their iPod. You just walk into the supermarket, you hear the same thing. You see how people are dressed. I mean, you know, Ajamil had it easy. Now you walk downtown, you say, whoa. So on our behalf, Nitai, he said, no. You are the incarnation of compassion. Please give them your mercy. So on the plea of Nitai, the stage was set for all of us to be delivered. That's why this day is so important. And how much allegiance we owe to Lord Nityananda. And how we must reciprocate with his mercy by serving his mission in the same mood that he did. By going to the downtrodden. To go to everybody. Everyone's downtrodden. The rich and the poor, the intelligent, the fool, the black, the white, the yellow. We don't make any discrimination. Everyone's fallen in Kali Yuga. So then, Lord Chaitanya said, alright, because Nitai wants it, then I'll accept you. But do you agree to follow regulative principles? Yes, sir. We say in American military, sir, yes, sir. We don't just say yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. Alright, and you will chant the Maha Mantra? Oh, yes. Kirtani Yad Sadahari? Oh, yes. 34 hours. So, Mahaprabhu, on the request, and he embraced them. We're also embraced, because Guru also embraces us by his mercy. He may not physically embrace us, but by his mercy, we're fully protected. We have full chance for going back to Godhead. And Mahaprabhu's body turned dark, black like night. Because he absorbed the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai. That's how fallen they were. Prabhupada said the spiritual master has to see a bad dream when he takes the sinful reactions of his disciples. Imagine how sinful were Jagai and Madhai. That when Lord Chaitanya, whose body was the same color of Radha, because he had the duty, he had the inner mood of Radharani, trying to understand Krishna's love for her, her love for Krishna, his body became golden, became black. And all the devotees, oh no! Gauranga! And Mahaprabhu, he said, so, anyone who offends a Vaishnava, from this day on, I will give them the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madhai. That's how serious the first offense to the holy name is, to blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives for it. And then, of course, he became golden again. So later on, Madhai came back to see Lord Nityananda, feeling very bad. He wanted to apologize. If you make an offense, to go back to the devotee you offended and ask for forgiveness, and the devotee should be so exalted that he can forgive you. It's sometimes harder to forgive than it is to go and ask for forgiveness. because of the false ego. So Mare came back, and you know what he said to the Lord? It's recorded. My dear Lord Nityananda, when I think that it is you who sustains the universe in the form of Vishnu, it is by your Shakti that Brahma creates and Rudra destroys the universe, and it is you whose body I struck, the fire of penitence begins to smolder in my heart, and there is no peace for me day or night. I think you could not have forgiven me. I don't think you actually forgave me, because how could you forgive someone so sinful as me? And he fell at the feet, save me, Lord, save me, save me. So Lord Nityananda said, Madhai, you are like my own child, my son. If the child strikes the father, does the father feel hurt? Some of you are fathers, you know? And sometimes the baby is playing and the baby kicks you. And you go, oh la la. So Lord is so kind that he sees his son or his daughter serving and maybe making an offense, then okay. Like Prabhupada said to us in London, try to stop committing offenses. He said, one time can be forgiven, two times can be forgiven, but he said three times means you're not sincere. So I was thinking, wow, at least two out of three, so kind. One time a devotee was acting up in the temple before Prabhupada's arrival, and the temple president threw him out before Prabhupada came. Prabhupada arrived at the temple to stay for a few days. The devotee snuck into Prabhupada's room in the evening. The temple president came in and saw that devotee there. He immediately picked him up and said, get out of here. Prabhupada said, stop. Why are you throwing him out? Prabhupada, he was nonsense. He did this. Prabhupada said, that's all right. He said, let him stay because Lord Nityananda is very, 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 very five times merciful. Temple president dropped the devotee. And later that devotee became first class Sankirtan devotee. So Nitai said to Madhai, but if you want, because if we are fallen, if we fall from the path of devotional service, the only way to rectify ourselves is by doing service. How did we come to the state we are at now? By service. How are we maintaining our Krishna consciousness? By service. How will we be delivered? By service. So if someone falls from the path of Krishna consciousness, if someone makes a big mistake in our international society for Krishna consciousness, and we kick them out, how will they ever be rectified? You're a nonsense. Go away. If they show remorse, if they're sorry, they show remorse, and they promise to give up their nonsense, and then we must allow them. We must, no matter how bad, we must give them the opportunity to do some service, because it's only by service we become rectified. If we cannot take care of our own, how can we take care of the people outside? It's hypocritical. So Mahaprabhu said to, or Nitai said to, the person who smashed the pot on his head, go make a bathing ghat for all the people who come here to bathe in the Ganges. Chant 200,000 names of Krishna a day and serve those people's lotus feet. So when people would come to the ghat that Madhai made with his own hands, he went there and he made it with the mortar and the this and that, and he made a ghat. People would come every day, whoever it was, Madhai would wash their feet. Here's a person who received a personal embrace of the Yuga Avatar, Lord Chaitanya, who was initiated by him, who was chanting, who was totally pure. When the people would come to the ghat, he would wash their feet. And how would he wash his feet? Vrindavan Das Thakur said that he would wash their feet with the tears of his eyes. And he would say to them, I have offended the Lord. Please forgive me. So after Jagai and Madhai were delivered, people came to know of the supernatural power of Lord Chaitanya's associates, and they were always coming for mercy. So later Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he went to Neelachala. When he got to Kamalapur in the bank of the Bagai River, he went for darshan, Lord Shiva, and you know that Nitai took his danda. He told that danda, he said, danda, you are so bold, you are so arrogant, the one whom we hold dearly in our hearts, you ride on his shoulders. Today you have to suffer punishment. So Nitai broke the danda of Lord Chaitanya in three spots.
We're holding the Lord dear to our heart, and you're just resting on His shoulder. You don't dump. Lord Chaitanya returned, "Where's my danda? I broke that danda into three parts." Lord Chaitanya said, "In the sannyasi's danda reside all the demigods, and you call it a bamboo rod?" Nitai said, "I know that the demigods reside in that danda, but we cannot tolerate your carrying the demigods on your shoulder because the demigods reside in that danda." But actually the real purport of that pastime is that within that danda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the embodiment of Krishna Prema. And it's instructive that Lord Nityananda broke the danda, which means he broke open the storehouse of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because he's the one that took it to the people. So Mahaprabhu said, "Now my danda is gone, I shall go to Puri." Anyway, there's so many pastimes, it's getting late. A little bit later on, when Mahaprabhu came back from South India, he asked Lord Nityananda to become a grihastra, householder. The idea being that most of Lord Chaitanya's associates were renunciates. Therefore, one might assume that to be a follower of Lord Chaitanya, you had to be a renunciate. But people in the Kali Yuga can't do that because sannyasa is one of the four things that's forbidden. So as Lord Chaitanya became the crested jewel for those in the renounced order of life, his other half, his brother, showed the example for our dear householders in ISKCON, that the wonderful example how to practice Krishna consciousness and make your home a temple and preach in that way. One day Bhaktivinoda Thakur came home. Oh, he woke up and he said to his wife, "I see my house has been transformed into Vaikuntha." Grihe thako bhane thako. Narottam says, whether one's a tyagi, a renunciate living in the forest, or one's a householder with a palatial home and children, and where he said, if that person has within his heart the burning desire to serve the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, I take the feet of that sannyasi, the dust of the feet of that sannyasi, I take the dust of the feet of that householder, and I put it on my head. So we have so many examples to follow as renunciates and householders. So Nitai was very merciful. He accepted that role as a householder. Of course, he had two wives, Vasudha and Janava. And after Gaur Nitai and the Panchatattva went back to Godhead, it was Mother Janava who carried on the Sankirtan movement during the time of Jiva Goswami and Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda. She was the great Acharya there. So from all this discussion, all this Leela, we can understand how dear Lord Nityananda was to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita concludes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always present in four places. At Mother Sachi's house, at the Kirtan of Srivas Pandit, at the house of Raghava Pandit, and wherever Lord Nityananda was dancing. So all of us dance in the eternal Sankirtan party of Lord Nityananda will be assured of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And what more could a person want in this life? One time Prabhupada told Giriraj Swami, he said, if you want the mercy of Radha and Krishna, you have to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. You can't get the mercy of Radha and Krishna without getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, if you want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And he concluded, and this is very important, because today is the day of the appearance of Lord Nityananda, where we specifically pray to that incarnation or that devotee who appeared. The whole day is in the mentality of remembering and serving. And so Prabhupada said, if you want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And he told Giriraj Maharaj, if you want the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to go out and preach to Jagai and Madhai. Shri Nityananda Rama ki, Pierce Day of Lord Nityananda ki, Shri Panchatattva ki, Shri Shri Radha Rasa Bihari ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Guluk Premdan Hodinam Sankirtan Yagya ki, Gur Premanande. Hare Krishna.